Before we start today's show, we would just like to acknowledge that we are recording this podcast on stolen lands. I am on the lands of the Darug and Gundungurra people, and Holly is on the lands of the Ngunnawal and Gambri people. If you are listening to this podcast in so-called Australia, you too, of course, are on stolen land. And we know that that applies to many other lands across this world, as we all see the effects, the ongoing effects of colonization and the ongoing colonization of many places.
As always, we do not speak for all workers. We come from a position of privilege as white, cis, het passing people who are... have a lot of privilege in multitudes of other ways. There are a lot of people within the community who face a lot more stigma than ourselves and face a lot more uphill battles just because of their identities. Our opinions are from our own privileged viewpoint, and that is what we share with you each week.
Welcome to Somebody You Love, or The Sale of Two Titties. I'm Jenna Love.
And I'm Holly Hart.
And we're experts in disappointing our parents, breaching community guidelines, and banging the people who vote against our rights. Okay, so today's episode kind of came out of nowhere because we actually had something else planned for episode 66, and that went a bit awry, so we had to come up with something new. And as a result, we've made a very, very lazy choice. And we are stealing content from Reddit, because that's what every... I feel like that's what every content, anyone who makes content, that's what they do. So, yeah, feel free to come for us on that one. But what we've decided
So this is 66 episodes in. I think we're allowed a few lazy ones. Like, I was so impressed when you brought this to the table, because I thought I cannot think of any content on any day. But you've always got something, whether or not it's your idea of lazy, which is wild, because if anyone listening has any idea about Jenna Love, they know that Jenna's idea of lazy is miles apart from my version of lazy. Even though it was your version of lazy, it's actually really fun and it's content, and it's I'm sure people will enjoy it.
Thanks, babe, my forever cheerleader.
Gotcha.
So what we're doing is we've each pulled out a handful of posts from Reddit. Now, I know that, as usual, my mum is listening, and I know that today won't be the day that I'm able to explain Reddit to you. So if you're also listening and you're not my mum and you don't know what it is, I just can't really help you. It's basically a forum. There is quite a well-known subreddit, which would be essentially a subforum, which is called Am I the Asshole? And it's essentially where people go on there and explain their situation and ask the question, am I the asshole, or would I be the asshole if I were to do this thing? And then the community feeds in. And then there's kind of an outcome decided by the community, ostensibly. So the options, when you're interacting with these posts, you can say that you think that the person who made the post, the OP, you can say that they are not the asshole in the situation. You can say that they are the asshole. You can say there are no assholes here, as in actually I don't think anyone in this situation is an asshole. Or everyone sucks here, which is assholes all round, which sounds like a good night, to be honest.
No.
No. No. So, yeah, we're just going to jump into it. We haven't seen each other's what posts we've selected, so we'll read them out to each other and see what we think.
First up, we have, am I the asshole for calling the cops on a young hooker? A few weeks ago, I, 34 male, had an interesting night. My neighbour tried to introduce me to a nice-looking, kind of dishevelled girl, 25-ish. I didn't really think much of it, brushed her off as pretty weird, but okay. Later that night, my neighbour and her daughter knock at my door. The daughter is crying hysterically and the husband was beating on her, so I let them both in. But guess who's with them? The dishevelled-looking young girl. I had work in the morning, but they all stayed until things calmed down. My neighbour and her daughter left and I'm stuck with this girl who I find out has some major crack issue and no place to go. Her name is Brittany and she's insane. I still felt bad. I made her some cheese sandwiches. She doesn't eat meat, lol. Okay. And offered her the couch as long as she didn't steal my shit. Morning comes and I basically just got her outside and locked my place up. Fast forward to today, haven't seen the girl since that night. I was out for a run, guess who I see? Brittany. Still in the same clothes, still cracked out, trying to get picked up by every car passing by. I told her she needs help, tried to get her to go to a rehab place, and she freaks. So I walked away and called the police out of concern. No one should live like this.
Okay. First of all, the husband was beating on the daughter of the neighbor while they're on your front door. I know that's not the point of the post, but what was happening there?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the story is. I find the whole thing really weird that the neighbor tried to introduce this guy to a nice looking girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the neighbor,
it's all
and
very strange.
I suppose the neighbor's wife, maybe, or was it the lady who had introduced her to her female friend who was a sex worker?
I think the female neighbor.
Yeah, you reckon? Okay, yeah.
Because
husband was beating on. Yeah, because the girl's with them. Yeah, I suppose she brought her friend.
Oh, hold on. Yeah, said husband was beating on. Oh, I get it now. The husband was beating them up in the house, so they came next door. I totally just read that wrong.
No. Okay. Even as I read it, it didn't. Yeah, okay. It's just a bit strange.
I thought
worded.
It was said husband, but it's she said the husband. Okay, yeah, all right, yes. So,
yeah, lots of.
I mean, yeah.
Look, I will say I looked into the username. I looked into this person, and they are based in the US, which you might be listening and say, well, that shouldn't matter. But I think it does in terms of the negative outcome, honestly. I think it actually means this is even worse of a thing to do. I think it's not a good thing to do in general, but it's even worse when it's based in the US. I do understand to some extent there is more stigma in the US because of the illegality of the job or I think that's probably fair to say. And I think there's a lot of stigma, particularly around street workers and people just in general worldwide, have a lot of stigma towards people with problems with drugs. There's a whole layer of complexity here.
Yeah, look, the top comment when I'm looking at it says, I would say it depends on what the cops and the laws are like where you live. And I sort of disagree because I don't think there's anywhere where the cops are great at handling this situation.
No.
But I would agree with you, Holly, that if there were, you know, a handful of places in the world where I really, really don't think this would be handled well, the US is one of them. And, you know, we're speaking, obviously, Holly and I don't know what it's like to live in the US. We don't, you know. But, you know, just to me, the fact that they have vice squads, like they have dedicated policing units for sex work and for drug use, is pretty like terrifying to me. And I just think at the end of the day, it's this like what, you know, he's ended it with no one should live like this. And it's like, okay, like that's your opinion. That's fine. And it's not necessarily a bad opinion, but what do you think you're doing to help?
Yeah, that's not going to change her lifestyle. You calling the police and putting her into all sorts of shitty situations with those authority figures that's not going to get her off the streets and make her life better.
If she doesn't already have a criminal record, you've just given her one. Mm-hmm. So if you think that, you know, her getting a job is the key to her moving forward with her life or whatever, you've just put a nail in that coffin.
Yeah. The top comment is really well written. It says, as you started, it says, you know, it depends what the cops and laws are like where you live, which, as we said, you know, we don't agree with that really. But it does say, if you don't know, then probably you're the asshole. You don't throw a drug-addicted woman on the mercy of the cops unless you can be reasonably sure they are a decent department with humane policies around drug addiction and prostitution. She needs services, not punishment, and certainly not abuse. Everyone should make it their business to know this stuff about law enforcement in their area. Again, I disagree. I don't think that there is a law enforcement situation where that's okay. But the perspective of this person from somebody who clearly doesn't have any links to sex workers or doesn't seem to be very educated, they've sort of got the right idea that, yeah, that somebody who is already disadvantaged, putting them in a position with police is not a good idea. And, yes, they need services. People need help. And some people say, well, calling the police will get them access to those services. And I don't really think that that's true.
No, and it's tricky. Like, we're not saying, no, what you should have done is not call the police and everything will work out fine.
No.
Yes. But
yeah.
By inserting yourself in the situation, and I understand a little bit how this, the OP seems to have kind of been inserted into it a little bit. Like, he kind of got put in the situation as well, but he didn't need to engage himself any further. He could have just let her be.
I do think people generally around the world maybe don't need to take on a view that that all cops are bastards, but I think that people really need to be aware of the limitations of policing and the limitations of the police as a structure, and the fact that the statistically the results of these sorts of encounters don't tend to be good. And I think people, I think people sort of get raised with this idea that the police are your community helpers and they will solve all the problems and they are your best friend. And sure, there are a lot of instances where police can help. But when it comes to mental health and drugs and sex work and things like that, historically, that doesn't tend to be the case. And I feel like that's something that people should be aware of.
Yeah, I think maybe that's a really important distinction, right? Because everyone has to make this choice for themselves when and if they ever call the police. But I think for all of us, like, there are some people for whom they would never, ever, ever call the police under any circumstance.
Yeah.
And I'm not that person, which is probably because of all the privileges we've spoken about. But I certainly am not on the other end of the scale where I'd call them for any kind of crime I may have seen.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
I think we've all got to work out what it is that we think. You know, there are times which I don't feel there is another option but calling the police, for me personally.
Yeah.
But, you know, seeing somebody trying to solicit or somebody using drugs, that's not one of them.
It looks like the general consensus for this one is the vast majority of comments say that the original poster, the OP, is the arsehole.
Yeah, and in OP's defense, they wrote a comment where they said, yeah, okay, my ex was telling me that I'm the arsehole as well as the rest of this post. I get it now. Cops aren't there to help. I didn't know of any other way. I only called them to get help for her, not throw her to the wolves. So, you know, they were pretty... I think that's very decent. Next up, we have, am I the asshole for telling my sister's fiance about her previous sex work? It is an open secret in my family, though never openly talked about, that my sister worked as a sex worker in her early 20s. Just to clarify, this wasn't to pay off any debt. Her college was fully paid for by our parents. It was just her preferred way of making money at the time. Anyway, my sister is engaged to a nice guy. Let's call him Ben. Ben didn't know of this open secret despite being engaged to my sister. I've never judged my sister for her actions, but this would personally be a deal breaker for me, and I thought that Ben needed to know before they got married so that he can make an informed decision. I gave my sister a month to tell him herself, as I thought it would be best coming from her. She didn't think that I would actually tell him, and so she never came clean. I told him, and he has now broken off the engagement while he reconsiders the relationship. As you can imagine, my family thinks that I'm the worst thing since New Coke. I honestly don't think that I did anything wrong. Past sex work is a deal breaker for most men, and Ben deserves to know. Anyway, can't go back now, but curious if I'm an asshole. I think, like, you know, the little words people use are always quite telling. One of my favorite things about am I the asshole is that you're only hearing one person's perspective, and when they still sound like an asshole, I'm like, wow. I know no one in this situation. You had the best possible opportunity to paint yourself in the best light, and still I think you're a fuckwit. I just, you know, this, I've never judged her for it, but just to clarify, she didn't have to pay off debt. She just did it because she wanted to. And I'm like, so you're judging her.
Yes.
What is, why are you telling me why she did it?
It's only justified if she's, if she's down and out or,
Absolutely how it reads to me. And then this, I gave my sister a month to tell him herself. So an ultimatum, which come on. Like, don't be using ultimatums in any relationship setting. Like, no. And yeah, obviously, the stance of the podcast is that outing a sex worker is an act of violence and is not something to be done. I mean, I can't, you know, I don't know if I can think of any situations where it would be appropriate. And, you know, and I don't like how she says, you know, past sex work is a deal breaker for most men.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know if that's true, you know. And obviously, you know, I've got a pretty, like maybe I'm being quite idealistic and I know it will be a deal breaker for some people for sure. It also doesn't say what kind of sex work she's doing. And I guess, you know, there's that thing where if it was porn or something where stuff could resurface, I think that's quite different to if it was in person, where really is it going to have any impact on him? Like how, what would be the impact? I just think her saying she doesn't judge her sister is a lie.
It's couldn't have said it better myself. Couldn't say most of the things you ever say better myself. I think that is definitely what I picked up through the post. It is really interesting. Just the little bits that give away somebody's internal stigma and their internal judgments. I've just been having a little bit of a read through some of the comments here. This is a really interesting one for me because I've always wondered this sort of thing, or less so now because I own my shit and I just don't fucking care if somebody likes it or if they doesn't. But if they doesn't, if somebody likes it or if they don't. But certainly in my early years of sex work, I wondered to myself, and I did go back and forth from doing it, and I wondered if I should tell my partner that I had done it, or if I owed it to them, or if there was some sort of obligation, or if the drama of the reveal was worse than the drama of just not telling them and then finding out some other way, or I still to this day don't know. I think that you don't owe anyone any certain information, and if you wish to move on from a past, that's okay. I feel like that's okay personally in my own ethics, but I also do understand in some relationships there are people who really want to know the truth, not necessarily about their partner's sexual history. It's not about having receipts for every sexual interaction your partner has had or a means of control, but just of having that total openness and that your partner concealing something so large would feel like a betrayal. Not because of a like sort of controlling aspect, but just of a trust, of an openness and a starting from knowing everything about each other and not hiding. I do understand that. And I feel like that's acceptable. And so I would hope that most people are in relationships where you can be honest about those sorts of things with your partner without them shaming you or putting you in some sort of different category in their head. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people in this world who are judgmental and who I'm going to be really judgmental myself here, though, and say really maybe emotionally immature, I think, and who hear news like that. And it is a big deal. It is a deal breaker. It is an earth-shattering revelation that they'll never be able to move on from. So, to this day, I still don't actually have a very strong stance on whether I think you should or you shouldn't tell your partner. I think it is such a deeply individual thing. Mm. But for somebody else to do it for you, obviously, is a huge violation. And it is not anyone's place to get involved in anyone else's relationship. It's just gross behavior.
Yeah, I think it is so, so tricky, right? Because so many sex workers, unlike Holly and I, actually, you know, do have something to lose. And they are likely to start dating somebody or even like a friendship that turns into something more. And they're not in a position, you know, most sex workers are not in a position to have a fucking podcast, right? Most do not tell many people about their work. Mm-hmm. If they do tell anyone, it's a very select few that they can trust, because we are, as we talk about all the time, we are at massive risk of stigma and discrimination. And you know, we can be at risk of violence when people find out that we're sex workers.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So when people are new in the dating scene, a lot do not want to disclose that information until they have the trust of someone. And I think that is very, very understandable and very reasonable. But then you fall into this situation where you've then got the trust of that person and they've got your trust, and then you go, well, fuck, now I have to tell them. And then that's a massive potential deal breaker. Even if it's not the work, the deal breaker is the lie that it started with.
The omission.
But the lie had to be there because because we have to look after ourselves. So I think that this is a common problem and it's really difficult.
Yeah, even in when you're first meeting someone dating right now, I know a lot of sex workers that I've heard talk about it. It's one thing we're talking about once you've built a relationship or, like you said, a friendship that turns into more, or you've got that established thing. But even when you meet someone on the dating apps, when a lot of us use dating apps, we will not say immediately up front, well, we certainly can't post on the apps.
Well, we can't.
My job is, because, they will ban us for soliciting in the first place. So you have to be sneaky about that. And then there's that thing. Do you tell them before you go on a first date, or is that going to make them treat you different? Or how about you go on two or three dates, get to know them a little bit first, and then you let them know. But then have you invested some time in them, and then they are horrified that you've lied to them in that three dates that you've had? So even on a smaller scale and a less, what would you say, like emotionally risky, a less invested situation, I guess is what I'm trying to say, it can still blow up in your face, and you just never really know, particularly, if you're an in-sex worker, if you're trying to have some elements of privacy or what the fuck do you do? It's very hard.
Yeah. I mean, when I went back into sex work in 2017, I had been with my boyfriend for 2 years at that point, and I hadn't told him about my sex working past. And I don't know, I wasn't trying to keep it a secret. I've told this story on the show before, but it hadn't like come up, and it was something it was a job. Like, we didn't go through all the jobs that we used to do.
Yes.
I don't know. And me, like, he knew I'd had a lot of sex with a lot of people. Like, that wasn't the problem. It just kind of didn't come up. It wasn't something I thought I'd ever do again. And then I decided to get back into it. And then I had to bring that up with him. And I was terrified he would leave me. And he totally didn't. He was like, oh, yeah, cool. but, you know, so even me, with all of the privileges that I have, as out as I am with, you know, I still was like, oh, shit, how do I do this? And was scared that I'd lose what I had by doing it. One more thing on this post. The top comment says says you're the asshole, and the overall consensus of this post is that you're the asshole. They said, you're the asshole. Why did you feel the need to tell him? Provided she doesn't have a serious communicable disease because of it that puts him at risk, their relationship has nothing to do with you. And I just hate that every time you get the most reasonable people who go, no, sex work is, you know, not a bad thing. Sex work is work. They always have to come back to, but what about diseases?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, if she has a serious communicable disease, that has nothing to do with sex work. If she has a serious communicable disease that may have come from sex, or you can have communicable diseases, you know, that are transmitted in other ways as well. And that's, but again, she, you know, you need to inform your partners of that, but that's her responsibility. Like, there's just no need to, it's just a small comment, but there's just no need to say, or unless she's got HIV, like,
disease.
No,
yeah,
just, she's no more likely than if she didn't do sex work to have that.
You did say that most of the comments, or that it seems that they've been, most people have said that they're the asshole. All of the comments I'm
that's
seeing
what's
are,
been, that's what it's been, what he does. That's
ah,
what
right. I don't have us. The... Oh, yes, okay. Well, in the comments, not the asshole, not the asshole, not the asshole, nah, not the asshole.
Wow.
Huge. The top, like, 7 or 8 comments are not the asshole, aside from the top one, which is you're the asshole.
Yeah, so it's only the top one is the one that
only
goes.
The top one. Yeah, there's the not the asshole. That's the kind of thing she should be sharing. If she's waiting until they get hitched in a divorce would mean he gets his wallet cut for life for something that may be a deal breaker for him. What? I would only vote you're the asshole if the sister wanted to tell herself, but ultimately she decided for her fiance. People are entitled to their own boundaries. He needed to know before getting married. Yeah, sex work is a big deal, and you don't get to just omit it from the resume in serious relationships. That is a pretty big part of someone's life.
You just don't know what anyone's keeping from any of their partners.
You absolutely don't. You really don't. And honestly,
like, you don't know what he's keeping from her.
Yeah, it's just, it is such a violation for somebody to to out you like that. It's really, really gross. So we vote strongly, you're the asshole.
Strong asshole.
And Obviously, yeah. people had voted on here, asshole, because I can see the flare there now. But there's a lot of shitty comments in that thread.
Yeah.
Yep. That's nice.
Yep.
Oh, this is joyful. Am I the asshole for hiring a hooker for my girlfriend's son?
Can I interrupt? All these people saying hooker who aren't sex workers are all assholes just for that. But anyway.
Yeah. I've been with this woman for 2 years and she has a teenage son. He has Asperger's. He was 16 when she and I first started dating. He is 18 now. He's really socially awkward, so I had the idea of getting him a hooker for his birthday. I told his mother about it, but she was strongly against it, which I thought was really unfair on him because, seriously, how will he ever get laid? I also feel she's way too overprotective with him, but has never said anything or have never said anything, but I respected her wishes and didn't get him a hooker. At his party, though, a bunch of his friends made fun of him for being a virgin and for not being able to talk to girls. I felt so bad for him that I spoke to him a few days later and told him about my idea and said that if he was keen, I'd still go ahead with it as long as he promised not to tell his mum. He said he wouldn't and seemed excited about it, so I went ahead with the plan and got him a hooker. It all happened and he told some of his friends about it and it got back to his mother. She's now really pissed at me and wants me to move out, although she doesn't want to break up. She just wants a break while she figures out if she can get over this. So Reddit, am I the asshole?
Dude, what are you doing? Like it's...
It's so fucking weird. It's so weird. When I was 15 years old, and this is slightly related, but... Not quite, but when I was 15, I had a boyfriend who turned 18 years old and he had a birthday party at his house and they hired a stripper for it. And there was a bunch of us underage kids there watching as this girl gyrated and poured wax on herself on top of my boyfriend's lap. And I remember feeling quite confronted by it. And I was a pretty out there sexually 15-year-old, which is a very problematic sentence as it is. But anyway, I was not, I guess my
Especially
point is that.
Given you were dating an 18-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, look, oh God. I guess my point is that I was not a prude in any kind of way, but I remember watching it and thinking, this is really fucking weird. This is so weird. I get he's just turned 18, but you've hired a stripper to get naked in his house with a bunch of like ostensible, you know, kids. We're kids around.
Yeah.
So weird. The parents paid for it. Goodness. Sorry, I just wanted to clarify that. The parents paid
for it. Oh my God, that's even weirder. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
It's just...
So why do parents...
There's culture around hiring sex workers for people. For what? For that alone.
For anyone else.
It's just so weird.
Yes.
So, so strange.
So weird.
Like I just... And, you know, obviously there's... consent issues there and stuff. And like at first I thought it was going to be a surprise and obviously that is completely unequivocally not okay. But then it seems like by the end then he did get the 18-year-old's consent and he did want to go and do it. So then I'm like, okay, well that's great. Like, but I think like, so I kind of think inherently, you know, it's not necessarily a problem to, you know, pay for the sex worker of this 18-year-old who, you know, you met when they were 16, so you haven't seen them growing up and stuff. You're not actually like their parent. And they've agreed to do it and they want to do it. And presumably they don't have the funds to, but you do. I don't think that in isolation is necessarily a problem. But I think this idea of he's really socially awkward. How on earth will he ever get laid?
Yes.
If he doesn't do it this way is ridiculous because he's 18. Of course he's socially awkward and he has plenty of time. Like there's no hurry, man. Settle down.
Yeah. And then, his friends were making fun of him. Friends tease like, have you met a young man?
Yes.
Have you met?
Yes.
Come on.
Absolutely. And not being able to talk to girls. Yep, that sounds like most 18-year-olds men I've met. It also sounds like most 25-year-old and most 35-year-old men I've met, to be honest.
Yes.
Like, it's very, you know, there's a whole lot of reasons in society that have made that happen. But, and then, of course, asking, you know, the mum sort of permission and then her making it very clear she wasn't okay with that. Yeah. That's where the problem is. But I kind of think it's a bit... It's very weird. It's very, very weird. But I don't know if the act of hiring the worker itself
knows
that is no. Yeah, is heinous.
No, I think that in this instance it's weird, yes, but I don't think it's awful. I think if I had a partner and a son and I said to my partner, this is a boundary that is appropriate for your behavior towards my son, and he went ahead and went behind my back, I would be very pissed off. And I think that makes you an asshole. I think that is a really bizarre, like you said, a really weird act, but also it is a betrayal. And so you are the asshole. That's clear. But the comments are, this person has been flagged as an asshole. My favorite comment is, you're the asshole. What the actual fuck? And that's it. And I think that sums it up. The next one is, Jesus Christ, you're the asshole. Not to mention the fact that it's completely weird that you seem to be this wrapped up in the sex life of your girlfriend's son. Yeah, that's pretty much the general consensus.
Next up, we have, am I the asshole for showing my twin sister's OnlyFans to our parents?
Oof.
Now, this one is interesting.
Okay.
It has like a bit of a twist.
Ooh, strapping in.
Strap in and strap on. So I, 18-year-old female, and my identical twin sister, also 18-year-old female, obviously, have always had a tumultuous and competitive relationship. We've always fought over everything, guys, clothes, friends, etc. But our relationship came to a halt a few weeks ago when a mutual guy friend of ours sent me a link to an OnlyFans profile with an attached message that stated, "This you?" Confused, I clicked on the link and I was shocked to discover that the profile belonged to my twin sister. The profile picture was very clearly a scantily clad image of her, and the username was my nickname that literally everyone in my life uses. I asked our friend about it and he told me that he had discovered the profile through Twitter and then he subscribed to the profile, which includes dozens of videos of her doing spicy things, to say the least, solo and with partners, all of which with her face showing. First of all, don't know why this friend is came across his, like, first of all, that's a problem.
Yes.
I was floored and in a fit of rage, I showed the profile to our parents. I mean, literally anyone who saw that profile that knows us would immediately assume that it's me, considering she's basically going by my name. Our parents forced her to delete the profile. She hasn't spoken to me since, claiming that I not only ruined her main source of income, but also betrayed her trust. However, I think she betrayed my trust by going by my nickname. Am I the asshole? And like, wild.
Yeah, that is.
So the community, has voted it not the asshole, but I disagree.
Oh,
well, I think it's everyone sucks here because I think they're both assholes.
I think, not
and
the
I think
asshole.
That was telegraphed from the first paragraph when she was like, "We fight over everything. It's always been really tumultuous." Like, I reckon they're both cunts. That's my...
Okay. I mean, I think they both are, but I think in this instance, I actually think that they're not the asshole.
Interesting.
I am a person who is driven by rage, so I understand the lack of rational thought. I think had it been under a different name, maybe they still would have gone to the parents. This person, like you said, they do sound like a bit of an asshole, and I just get that asshole-y vibe. Maybe they might have been going to out their sister anyway, and that obviously would not be okay. But I feel like if I had a twin sister and I found this and they were using my fucking name, I would lose my shit. It's not even that – yeah, it's such a – like, they've been outing you, basically. Like, that's
– yeah. Like that's true.
For something that you haven't even consented to, or they've basically – it's almost like making deep fake porn of you and putting it out there.
Yeah.
It's a horrendous thing to have been doing. And in a fit of absolute humiliation and rage, I don't think it's the right thing to have done, but I definitely understand going to your parents and going – your fucking daughter, your mate. Because if you don't have a relationship with that sister at the time, I don't know, you know, but it does sound like they've had some drama. Somebody needs to step in, and you're the fucking meant to be the authority figures here. Yeah. I get it. Look, they're 18, but they're 18, right? That's still kids, you know?
It's pretty young.
Yeah. It's pretty young. And going, this is obscene, and someone needs to do something. I get it. Like I said, I don't think it's right, but I so get it, and I would react.
Yeah, I think you've won the same way.
Yeah.
I think you've converted me because I just realized, like, she could have used any name on the planet.
Any name.
It is so targeted.
It is. It's really not okay.
Like that's really diabolical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
with face
real
out.
Identity theft, like, kind of face out. Face out.
Yeah,
using her name. Like it's something I'd never thought about before. What would it be like being a twin sibling to somebody who makes porn? Because it's almost like there's all this pornographic content of a body that's the same as yours, you know, like out there, and you don't have to consent to that for that person to do it, but at the same time it kind of seems like it would be valuable if they got your consent, you know, like
it's complex, and it's
a real
upsetting thought, isn't it?
Yes. Strange, because then I can see that if you're like, you know, not into the same stuff as them, you might have people expecting you to be like they are in the bedroom and stuff. You know, like I just, ooh.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But yeah, no, you convinced me. Just not the asshole. Yeah.
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 And the vast majority of comments seem to agree. Oh, wow. That is it's not a good story. It's an awful story, but it's very fascinating. That was
I mean, if it's real, but whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, you never know, do you? But yeah. Yeah. It's plausible.
It is.
In this day and age, I've
agreed.
Heard
agreed.
Much less likely things.
Yep. So true.
Am I the asshole for playing Mortal Kombat 3 with the hooker my friends put in my room for my birthday? When I was in college, my roommates arranged to have my then cheating girlfriend taken out for a ladies' night with a bunch of other girls. They arranged to have a hooker put in my bedroom that same night for my birthday. After a day of classes and 4 hours of work at my job on campus, I came home to the surprise in my room. She looked good, but I couldn't do it. I did not want to do it, but I realized that even if I did, I couldn't anyway. Physically, it just wasn't happening. So I turned on my Nintendo, and she sat on the edge of the bed and watched me play Mortal Kombat 3. I did make her scream when I showed her a babality. I don't even know what that is, and I've played Mortal Kombat. So anyway, sorry, guys. Neither. Is it a fatality with a babe? I don't know. People are going to call me a noob. I caught a lot of grief from the guys once it was known that it didn't happen. They put a lot of effort into setting it up, and they thought it would be the perfect night for me, and they say I wasted it. Am I the asshole?
Okay, babality is a finisher.
That
was introduced in Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah.
It allows players to turn their opponents into an infant version of the character.
Oh, babality, a little baby. Oh, yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Oh, wow. Okay, there you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fucking hilarious. Cool.
And she screamed?
She screamed. I love that. Yeah.
Like cool. in fear, in laughter? I don't
I'd
know.
Say probably in comedic joy, I would hope. Obviously, there are so many issues, as you brought up earlier, with hiring a sex worker for somebody else. We get lots of inquiries from people saying, can I hire you for my husband? Can I hire you for my friend, my girlfriend, whatever? And it just obviously the consent issues with that are crazy. Aside from that, the idea of turning up to a booking where somebody you don't even know if they want you, don't know if they're you're their type, you don't know if how they'll react to sex workers in general, whether they'll be violent, whether they'll be it's just such an awful thought. And for starters, that's such a big issue that this happened. I know when I was a stripper, there were stories of people getting booked for shows or things like that, and for people who really weren't interested in the strip show or whatever, and they go, just don't worry about it, just come sit down and hang out with them.
Yeah.
I certainly, when I worked in brothels, there would be bucks nights come through and the guys would all go off to different rooms and they'd get the buck to go in with one of the workers, and almost every single buck would not sleep with the hooker. She'd come back out of those. So, oh, I know it's a problematic word, hooker. Sorry, guys. They would not sleep with the worker. They would come back out afterwards and all the other girls would be wrecked from these drunk, often coked up young men who couldn't get hard, who were wanted to do every position in 45 minutes or whatever. And husband to be often would just sit on the edge of the bed and have a lovely conversation. So whoever got booked by him would be, you know, really happy with that and be like, oh, just, you know, if anyone says anything, you know, make sure the friends think we did this or whatever. Like, you know, if any of them come back, make sure no one knows that I didn't do it. So
what is this world that we live in?
I know.
What is happening?
I know. I don't understand it, men. You're all mad. And it's not just men. It's the male friendship dynamic. It's just bizarre. This story doesn't actually surprise me at all. And I've seen variations of it a million times. There are plenty of dudes who just for whatever reason don't feel like getting it on that day. And all the boys outside hoping they do it is not somehow conducive to arousal.
It must be for them, though.
I don't know.
Sounds like the friends get off on it. Like,
maybe.
Very strange.
I think it's just that mischief feeling, isn't it? It's we're doing something naughty and it's a bonding experience. But,
So strange. Yeah.
It's strange.
I think, so definitely this guy's not the asshole to his friends. His friends are the asshole. Yeah.
He doesn't know
but he's
anything.
Also not the asshole to the sex worker because that sounds great.
Great. Yeah.
Excellent booking. I'd be
getting
quite pleased.
Paid to hang out and watch somebody play games is fantastic.
Sounds good.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to find out what a Bay Ballady is.
I'd be better. That also. I'd be like, be better if you had a second controller. But,
sure.
You know, I'm being paid. That's all right. I'll take just watching. It's all good.
Yeah.
And even the scenario where they arranged to have his then cheating girlfriend taken out for a ladies' night. Like, what's going on? Yeah. Why can't these people just like have a conversation and be nice to each other? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's very weird.
It does sound.
My favorite, though, the top comment is not the asshole. Choosing a prostitute is a very personal thing. And I just really think that's a very funny sentence. Choosing a prostitute. It's just, it's funny whenever someone says prostitute. I just think
it is. It so feels so formal and stuffy and
yes.
Yeah.
It's just so strange.
It does feel very strange.
Okay. Second top one is everyone sucks here. Your girlfriend for cheating, obviously. Your mates for organizing a hooker when you're in a relationship. You for not sending the hooker away. I didn't even like.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You know, you can send the worker away. I guess that's fine. I don't think that's an asshole to anyone. But I also understand the peer pressure of the boys and that bullshit. And sometimes. Some people just go, and like I said, on these bucks nights at the brothels and stuff, sure, the guy can go, well, no, I'm just going to wait outside. But sometimes I don't want to ruin the vibe. And it's, you know, if.
And also I think it would be, you know, I think we know from experience a lot of clients, or I mean, this isn't even a client, is it? But people who have found themselves in that situation, like they really don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Like he probably, you know, I think he may have sort of been like not wanting to send her away and making her feel like she did anything wrong, you know. He doesn't realize she would have been like amazing early, Mark, but you know.
Yeah, I don't know, some people don't especially it sounds like it was late in the evening. It does sound like it might have been nice for her to go home. But
all right, this one's a bit long, sorry. Am I the asshole for making my sister-in-law stop doing sex work out of her home? My sister-in-law is a disabled single mum with two kids, currently working several jobs from home to make money. Pre-COVID, she told me and several other friends and family members that she had started doing sex work out of the home. She'd had her first client and she was excited about the possibility of making money this way. However, I was concerned about her doing this where she and her children lived, even though the children were not home at the time. Another friend felt strongly that CPS should be called, so Child Protective Services. However, I told them that I would talk to my sister-in-law first. So I spoke to my sister-in-law about my concern for her kids. I explained that while I supported sex workers, it made me nervous that she was doing it out of the same home that her kids live in, and that she had spoken to her client about her kids. He had said that he had kids himself, and they apparently talked about each of their sets of kids afterwards. She had not changed her home in any way or hidden any evidence of who lived there. Sister-in-law was really upset to hear this from me and completely disagreed. She said that it was no different than selling something off of Craigslist and having someone pick it up at her house. Plenty of people could find out her address online in an instant anyway and find out that her kids lived there too. She did not feel like she was putting them in any danger. I tried to problem solve with her. I suggested that she rent out a hotel room, but she said that she wouldn't be able to and still make the money that she needed in order to make sex work worth it. We both agreed that her going to the client's house was a bad idea. She also said that she felt safest in her own home and accused me of valuing her children's safety over her own and not seeing the bigger picture. Wouldn't it be worse if she died because she met a client in a hotel room? Then her kids would have no mother. I don't know why it's more likely that she would die in a hotel room, but okay. Anyway, I finally brought up that this was a concern that might make someone call CPS, although I didn't mention at the time that I said this because of the mutual friend. She almost immediately said that she would stop doing it. I later found out that she feels like I have the quote-unquote power because I am dangling CPS over her head in order to make her parent in the way that I feel is best. Yeah. I do know that one of her big anxieties is someone calling CPS and having her kids be taken away. So I knew that bringing this up would most likely make her stop. This has been a real source of contention between us since then. She sees me as very judgmental, rigid, and unable to properly gauge or balance risks in life. She's trying hard to make money, and I took away one of her sources of income. I don't even know what the odds are that this would put the kids in a harmful situation, but I worry about them as their aunt, and I was afraid that something would happen to them while I stood by, knowing what was going on but saying nothing. Am I the asshole for coming down so hard on her about this and bringing up CPS? So,
yes.
This one, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Of course, we agree on most of these. Now, the Reddit community voted that she was not the asshole, and I think the comments were pretty pretty relevant to this. You know, the top comment says, not the asshole, and then says, has she considered online sex work for a safer alternative? Not that there aren't risks with that too, but at least the people wouldn't be in her house. And, you know, yep, I hate this because people just can't deal with, that's not a sentence, I don't know. Like I appreciate this person said there are risks with online work, but I've said it before and I'll say it again. Some of the most frightening experiences I've had in this industry have come from people who have never met me in person.
Yeah.
So I don't put any stock in this idea. That online sex work is inherently safer.
Back in the earlier days of YouTube, when I used to follow a bunch of YouTubers and watch them regularly, there were multiple instances of where people had found out these people's addresses and turned up on their doorstep or gone inside their houses.
Oh, yeah. Like,
if you Big have time. A presence online, and not that necessarily you need to or that that's going to happen if you do online work, but it can, and often they go hand in hand. If you want to grow your income online, you need to have a bigger following and you need to do more, have a bigger brand on social media. And so, yeah, the more notorious or the more public you become, or famous you become online, the potential, the more people you reach that have fucking unhinged ideas. If you're bringing one or two people around to your house per week, that you build empathy with and that you know real life, real world things about, as opposed to having 100,000 individuals, strangers on the internet follow you, some of them hate follow you, some of them go as far as they can to watch every single thing you've got and get as much information to stalk you, what's more safe? It's really a bizarre take to
and,
think that.
And as much as you have that real world information about the people that you're seeing in person.
Yeah.
Also, they have information about you.
Yeah.
And like what it does is the second you meet, it actually breaks down the parasocial relationship because it then becomes a social relationship.
Yes.
And you're I humanized. Think that is really, really key. Yeah. They see that you're a human. Doesn't mean they can't hurt you, but that's real, really big distinction.
Yes.
Yeah. The second top comment says, not the asshole, doing sex work out of your home can be super dangerous, even without kids. And again, I think I talked about this on a very recent episode of ours. This idea that doing it in your home is inherently dangerous and is the wrong way to be doing it. Mm-hmm. when, and this, you know, OP's sister-in-law, it sounds like, kind of covered some of this. Like she said, I am more comfortable doing it in my own home. Mm-hmm. Many of us are. Mm-hmm. When it's a space that you can control.
Yes.
That can be really important. So I think just like, yes, there is this thing where someone knows your address.
Yes.
That's valid.
Of course.
But then there's this other thing where who the fuck can afford more than one property? Who's paying it? You know, like this is a disabled mum. Sounds like a disabled single mum, I think.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah. It just...
I mean, you and I are incredibly privileged, and we're here in Australia where sex work is legal, and we have all of the things going for us, and neither of us can afford a second property.
No.
I keep going to add details of like our privilege. Like I was going to say, you know, you've got dual income, and you know, we have both have good social media followings and strong brands and all of that sort of stuff.
Kids. But it's irrelevant. Human kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Our disabilities that if we define them as disabilities or not are manageable or we can work around them in ways. So like we have so many privileges and we absolutely cannot pick up another property to live in or even to rent sustainably. Like we know plenty of workers who, lease out, in calls and stuff. And it's fucking, it's exorbitant amounts of money for the most privileged people we know, let alone somebody in this situation. It's just unreasonable.
And of course you can hire a hotel at per booking kind of thing. But I mean, obviously these people don't realize, but we know that cancellations, shows, getting fucked around is so and I know of workers that can't work from home and they do hire hotel rooms and they lose money regularly.
Yes.
Because they've paid for the room and then everything's fallen through.
Yeah.
So it's not a smart way for a disabled single mum to make an income.
No, absolutely not. And 10 years ago, it was potentially easier because this was before sites like Backpage were shut down. So I know this person mentioned Craigslist here, but Backpage back in the day, you had a little bit more opportunity to work to hire a place, and that's certainly how I worked back in the day. Was I would hire a hotel room and I would wait, and I could put ads up. But the landscape for sex workers has changed in recent years, and it's not as simple as just getting a space and waiting for the jobs to come in. You have to be ready, sort of on a shorter notice, particularly if you are less privileged and you do have less of a brand and a name and stuff like that. You've sort of got to take what is available and telling someone, well, you know, I've got to wait a few days until I can get a hotel room and then get a few other bookings on the same day and line them all up. And then, as you said, they cancel.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work. It's actually not at all a viable solution. These ideas of like one thing being less harmful than another, and obviously we're not saying at all that in-person sex work does not have dangers. We always like to say that it is not inherently dangerous. We do like to make that point. But of course, any job where you are a woman in society and you are meeting strangers / men / any other human can have risks, and people that's just how life is. And there's a lot of things that affect why people feel like they can be violent towards sex workers, and that stuff we've unpacked on other episodes and, you know, we won't go into here. But, yeah, the thought that you've got some sort of solution or something that's going to make it less dangerous for this person to exist, this is going to get really, really deep. What do you define as danger? If you're thinking somebody comes over and that, you know, yes, there are assaults and there are robberies and there's all that sort of thing. But if you take away this person's source of income and then their children get taken away and then they lose this or that and they do whatever they do to cope. And I know that's a slippery slope fallacy sort of thing I'm leaning on there, but I just think that it's so easy to make moral decisions on how somebody else should live and to dictate what is moral, what is less safe, or what is right. And you just don't know what is the best thing for somebody else. And you don't know what the consequences of any one action are and what that can lead to in that person's life. So maybe you shouldn't be trying to control their life.
Because actually money is safety.
Sadly, it is.
In a lot of ways.
Absolutely, it is.
So taking away, and particularly for women, Money is safety. Yeah. Women need to have money. That's, you know.
And financial security is mental health, as this person said. She she seemed really happy and positive about it because finally she doesn't have to struggle. Again, not saying money solves all the problems. It's not going to make you happy. It's not going to, but fuck, if you're disabled and you're trying to look after two kids and you've got no money to pay, you're going to be a lot happier when rent is paid. So,
absolutely. Would we suggest maybe not sharing information about your kids and maybe hiding the fact that your kids live at your house? Sure. 100%. Yes. There's some things she could do to mitigate, you know, but not our place, obviously. Mm-hmm. A couple of other comments here. This person says, based on your post, I'm assuming she does full service sex work where she has physical contact with her clients. If that's the case, holy mackerel, is it risky to be doing that kind of thing, that kind of work out of her home? And I'm like, first of all, you said full service sex work, so you're using the right language, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And then you just went full horarchy on me.
Yeah.
Like, then you're literally like, wait, she's having physical contact with them?
Yeah.
Bizarre. Then no. Like, okay.
Okay.
This person says it's extremely common for sex workers to be victims of violence. No, it isn't. It's not as extremely common as it is for spouses to be victims of violence.
Yes.
It's not. It's not as common. It's just that the media likes reporting on stranger violence.
It's salacious. Yeah.
That's because it's out of the ordinary.
Yes.
Like that, the very fact that we hear about it is because it's actually not all that common. This person comes in being all expert-y and I want to fucking stab them.
Yeah.
Let me explain why, as a mandatory reporter, that I would be legally required to report this. As the other commenter explained, sex workers are very often victims of violence. If they get murdered, those murders are almost always unsolved because they're seen as less by society. Some men who seek sex work just want a quick, low-effort hookup. But some men who seek sex work are doing so because they want a whore. Those men are going to be more prone to violence. Where are any of your facts like coming from? Like, they're the two options. For one, that's not even...
Hooker or whore.
Like, they... Like, what? That's not even... Like, yeah, those are probably two types of clients, and there's 50 others. Like, And I don't see necessarily that men who love the idea of whores are going to be more prone to violence. I think if anything, they might just be like big supporters of the sex industry. Like, they might really like whores. Even if she's smart about judging her clients, all it takes is one slip up to allow a bad person into her home. Because it's her home, they can find her at any time. This puts the children at very high risk, and CPS would monitor the situation and consider removing the children. Part of the reason that sex workers don't work out of their home usually, again, you've just made this up.
Where are you getting any of this information from? Yeah.
Part of the reason they don't work out of their home usually is because they want to remain anonymous. By doing it at home, you remove that level of protection. Like, also, plenty of sex workers work out of home and pretend it's not their home. That's also quite a common one. You know, quite possibly difficult if she's, you know, in a, like, it depends on the layout of the space and whatever. It's altogether just much less safe than one night stands.
Is it? How many people? I'm sorry. Again, we don't need to compare it like that, but because it is just about a stranger thing being a murder reporter. But how many incidents do you hear of the Tinder murderer? There are so many of those lately where people.
This comment says, is it just like camming or OnlyFans, or is it full-blown prostitution?
Full-blown prostitution.
Full-blown prostitution.
I love it.
Enjoyed that.
Fantastic. Yeah, I love that.
I think I've said enough, but I just – oh, that's right. There was one person that was like, okay, sorry. Let me read this one comment out because this person got really downvoted. Of course they did. They said, you're the asshole. If her kids are not around and this is a way for her to supplement her money, then let her do it. I ran a business out of my own home for over 10 years. I never had a problem with any client. A lot of people have hit hard times right now. Who are you to judge how they make their money? Again, if the kids aren't there while she's working, it's not a big deal. For you to hold CPS over her head and make her life even harder, that makes you a giant asshole. She's making extra money to take care of her kids. That makes her a good mum, not a bad mum. There are no bad women, just bad laws. One comment, there's a bunch of downvotes, one comment saying, quick question, are you a sex worker? Yeah, it sounds like they probably are. Anyway, That one, the whole thread just, as you can tell, got me in a tizzy.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, yes, you're the asshole. The community said not the asshole. We obviously think the asshole. So, okay. Am I the asshole for telling my boyfriend about my past as a sex worker? I've been with him for 1.5 years. From the ages 18 to 22, I worked as a cam girl and an escort to help pay my way through college. My parents refused to help me pay for college, so I took up camming to make what I thought would be easy money and started doing escort services soon after. It paid very well. I ended up getting a full ride scholarship during my sophomore year, but I still continued and saved up the money. I stopped when my partner wanted to become exclusive. I stopped camming, escorting, and private shows. I didn't delete everything, though. I never told him as I didn't think it was a huge deal. I was clean and safe, so it's pretty much just past hookups. My partner is a huge nerd and great with computers. Mine broke over the weekend, and he offered to help me with it. I left him my laptop overnight, and in the morning he confronted me about it. He asked if I ever did porn. I was honest and told him that I was a cam girl. He then asked if I was a hooker. I told him that I wasn't a hooker, I was an escort. He said that he is disgusted by my actions. He said that he couldn't believe I would lie to him about being a porn star and a prostitute. I told him that it was in the past before we were exclusive, and he got mad again. We've been arguing about this back and forth since, but I don't think I did anything wrong. Am I the asshole?
I mean, whether you're the asshole or not, you're a fucking idiot for giving him your computer if you wanted to keep this a secret from him.
Yeah.
You're maybe not the brightest.
No. People seem to have voted that they are the asshole. The comments seem to reflect that. Like we discussed before, whether or not you need to tell a partner, I disagree on a blanket statement for that. I think that is a really individual thing, whereas a lot of these comments are saying you must tell your partner, you should, you must, blah, blah, blah. Whether or not I have an opinion or not, I don't think she owed him that information, but that's my personal take. The hierarchy in that comment, though, about I wasn't a hooker, I was an escort, is really, really gross. And it's just really sad that people come into this industry and they do their little bit of time and they leave not having grown any sort of empathy for the broader community. Like I know there's a lot of people who, you know, we're lifers, you and I, but there's a lot of people who come in and they do it for a little while and they move on with their lives, and that's fine. That's cool. It's, you know, get in and have a good time and get out, or don't have a good time, but learn your lessons, whatever it is that is your life path. It's almost like I've always sort of hated smokers who quit smoking and then are really treat smokers with a really foul attitude. I know it's very different, but I, as an ex-smoker myself, I don't know, I just have more empathy. I understand it. People always go, oh, well, it was somebody smoking at the bus stop. And I'm like, well, and people listening are going to disagree because it's a highly contentious one. But I'm like, well, fuck, they're outdoors and they're having a cigarette before they, like, but people go, oh, it was near me. And I'm like, God, I bet you breathe in worse things every day. I'm sure that we are surrounded by things that, so I guess my point is, I just think it's really sad when you are part of a community for a while and then you're not, and you look with disdain at people within that community, or even in this instance, it might not be at specifically escorts in general, but that they still have this lateral violence sort of disdain for a different kind of sex worker. That's just really disappointing.
Yeah.
There's no growth there. There's no empathy, and that's sad.
Yeah, and you can see, and she says, I was clean and safe.
Yes, the stigma.
You know, obviously, you know, clean is not great language when it comes to, like, STIs or drug use or, anything, unless it's, like, you cleaned your furniture. Like, that's where that's where it's appropriate. Yeah. And safe, you know, just goes to show, I think, maybe she's a bit naive about sex because, you know, we talk about safer sex because there is no interaction with another person's body that is inherently safe.
Yes.
But that includes like being in an elevator with somebody, you know, like as humans, we hurt each other just by existing. So, you know, I think that shows a lot. And also her saying like, it's pretty much just past hookups. Like she's like, because I was clean and safe, quote unquote clean and quote unquote safe, that means it was no different to me just hooking up with people. Which suggests to me that she thinks
yes,
sex work means you're not quote unquote clean and safe or something. You know, it's just a bit, you know, yeah. So I fully agree with you. She seems quite naive about it all, which is, yeah, it's disappointing. I guess it's not, you know, not everyone has to get with the program, but it is disappointing because, you know, we know that the best way to help sex workers is for people to get to know us. Not every sex worker, but we know, like putting, we know that putting a face to the name really, really helps in terms of stigma. And so then, you know, we know that there's a bunch of these ex-workers running out around out there that actually are perpetuating the stigma. Well, maybe she's not because she's not telling people about it, but you know.
No, but they're not helping.
And that's really
the
disappointing.
Movement. Yeah.
No, and they don't have to, but to know that they're potentially hindering it, that's a bit shitty.
Yeah.
That sucks. Alrighty, last one. Am I the asshole for not letting my boyfriend subscribe to girls on OnlyFans, women, hopefully, even though I have an OnlyFans account? I don't really know how much background context is needed, but we've been together for a little over a year and we are moving in together later this fall / autumn for the Aussies. But we are quarantining together right now, so we will see each other every day. I really love this guy and see a great future with him. Okay, cool. Yeah, we didn't need any of that context. I've been an OnlyFans content creator for a few months now. He was supportive of it in the beginning because I was making a lot of money doing it and I give him some of my profit.
Fuck.
About 20%, because I know most boyfriends wouldn't be cool with their girlfriends doing stuff like this. Mr. Love is going to be editing this feeling ripped off. What? Okay, cool. So he's like pimping without even doing any of the work. Like that is unhinged. Okay. We'll come back to that. Last week, he left his phone in the bedroom while he showered, and we're pretty open with our phones, so I was just looking through his stuff. Nothing too crazy, but then I saw that he had emails from OnlyFans confirming subscriptions to random girls, and I kind of freaked out on him because why should he be paying to see other girls naked? He called me a hypocrite because I have my own account on there, but I don't see the comparison because he pays to see other girls naked while I get paid to do the same stuff. He swears that he doesn't have a problem with what I do, but it feels like he's just saying that so that he can have an excuse to do shady stuff behind my back. Basically, I want an outsider's perspective. I can't ask anyone in real life because nobody knows that I have an OnlyFans account. So I think, first of all, like, you know, every relationship has its own boundaries. And I'm really passionate about that. I think that whatever style of relationship you have, you need to be talking to the people that you're in relationships with and working out what your boundaries are.
Yes.
There are people in the world who think looking at porn is cheating. And I think that those people are batshit crazy. But if that's what is agreed upon in that relationship and both people or however many people in that relationship have decided that that is a hard limit, then they're the rules.
Yes.
I think it's insane to think that looking at porn is cheating. I think it is unfathomable to my brain that a sex worker would want their partner to not be paying for their porn. I think that is absolutely crazy. I don't, if that's the rules of your relationship, that's the rules. If you don't think it's okay for him to do that, you don't, he can agree with that or not. Oh, but I think you're crazy.
I don't know if it's about the paying for it. I think it's about looking at it at all. I think she just doesn't want him looking at other naked women.
Well, then one of the comments is like, you're basically recirculating your earnings to your competitors via your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. I would rephrase that as you're recirculating your earnings to your peers via your boyfriend.
True.
Obviously this fucking, I don't know why she gives him 20%.
Like, wild.
My husband doesn't give me 20% of the income that he earns at the warehouse.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking weird. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you've got combined finances, that's a different story. But that alone is bizarre. And in a lot of areas in the world, he could be arrested for that.
Yeah.
So, wild. Yeah, I guess I took it differently. I thought the issue was him. Because I think there are some people who think that watching porn is okay, but subscribing to someone on a fan site is not okay because it feels more personal and there's like they're paying that person directly rather than a porn company or just stealing their porn. It just seems really strange to me that like whenever I hear that Mr. Love is like paying someone in the industry. I'm like, yes, babe.
Yes.
Be a fucking ally. Yeah. Be a supporter. Excellent. Like, I just think I'm so much more comfortable with him doing that than watching porn that was probably stolen from somebody who's not being paid for that. Yes. You know?
I agree with everything that you've said. I feel the exact same about it all. The only thing that rankles me a little bit, and I don't know whether that comes from my past trauma. I'm using trauma in a tongue-in-cheek way, but from past relationships, is the fact that she's paying him 20%.
Mm.
She's handing over her money to him for nothing, but, you know, for being with her in spite of her being a horrible, awful sex worker. And then she has established this boundary with him that she doesn't like, which whether or not it's an insane boundary, it's a boundary she's established that she's not comfortable with. And then he's taking that money off her and doing the thing she doesn't like with her money. And like, that is so offensive. Mm. It's, I like it because, as you said, she's redistributing the money to her peers, and that's lovely. And I like them having it more than I like him having it. I think that's, yes. I like the mutual aid nature of that, the indirect mutual aid. But as a betrayal of trust, to be taking that money off your partner and then doing something with it that they are really uncomfortable with is so fucking rude. It's so cooked. And whether or not I agree with her boundaries, and I agree with their relationship, which just sounds crazy as it is, that's really offensive behavior on his part. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I read this as that was not a conversation they had had.
Right. And that's right. And she's just a discovered mistake. It and she's
I mean,
upset.
She's 21. Yeah, he's 24. Okay. I think they're just a bit maybe not great at relationships yet.
Yeah.
It sounds like the thought had never occurred to her that he might do that. And the thought had never occurred to him that she might have a problem with it.
Sure. Okay. In that instance, then it's, then she's the asshole. No. Who's the asshole? Someone's the asshole.
I don't know. This relationship isn't lasting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just looking at their comments to see if there was any updates or clarifications. There's not. So we'll remain a mystery to us, I suppose. It just sounds like an unhealthy relationship, to be honest. It needs communication.
This is not news to you, but people are so clueless about sex work. Someone's here has written, she's turned her boyfriend into the world's first e-pimp. No, there's plenty of e-pimps. That's not a new thing.
No.
Wherever there are women making money using their bodies, a man will be there trying to profit off it. That's not new. So we had talked about doing, we had a question of the week we were going to answer this week, but we have rambled on and on about these assholes for so long that we're really out of time. So we will have to save that for another day.
We'd like to thank our amazing patrons. Our new giving somebodies, Jacob, Noah, the Charlie Bear, and Andrew. Our new generous somebody, Gail. Our even more generous somebodies, the Ashley Stafford, the Rhiannon Rhodes, the Ophelia Parker, Nomad, Adele, Andrew, Lachlan, Leslie, Sub London, Mr. E, NK, Scott C,
Simon, Steve, Timmy, Wheezy, Luke, Frankie, Is Lost in Thoughts, Cuddle Koala, Stanley Doolittle, insert witty comment here, Den, Damo, Anne, and Tom. And our extremely generous somebodies are Aaron, Andrew, Adam Smith, Pete, the Sienna Saint, Tim, David, and Tom. Thank you so much for listening today. I really had a blast. As I said, this wasn't kind of what we were intending to do today, but it is what we did do. Actually, fun fact, Mr. Love and I played this little game in the car sometimes on road trips.
I'll that just like read so out
Am I
cute.
The Asshole stories and we guess what the community will say and then, yeah, huh. We're adorable.
You guys are so cute. No, I think it was a really fun episode. Thanks, guys. Yeah,
it was a good time. Thank you. See ya.
Bye.
Boom, ba-jum, ba-jum, boom, ch- boom, ba-jum. Please look out for us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Patreon. Our name everywhere is Somebody You Pod, as in podcast. Our Patreon starts at just $3 a month, and you can get all of our episodes ad-free and a day early, plus bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes action, bloopers, and more. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the voices of sex workers. And remember, somebody you love might just be a sex worker.